The Game 1 edition of Star Market Celtics tonight continues our conversation with the head coach, brought to you by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn award save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. Max and I were just talking about, with all the curiosity, with the bubble and the lives you're leading and the hotels and everything, it's different. There's actually been not as much focus on basketball. And we were talking about the ramp up to today, that it ended up, not like you had a choice as to what it was going to be, having this number of weeks of practice, the three scrimmage games, the eight bubble games. Does it feel about right now? Was it too much, too little? Does it feel like this was sort of the perfect setup?
Well, I don't know if the setup mattered as much as how you approach the setup. So if it's going to be 5 weeks, it's going to be 5 weeks. If we had to come and play the playoffs right away, we would have known and prepared a little bit differently while we were in Boston. But we did spend a lot of time on how to appropriately manage these weeks. I thought we got better through the seeding games, and we feel physically and mentally ready to go. You know, I think that at the end of the day, you know, we're going to have to play really well. We're going to have to be at our best because, you know, the challenges are tough, but we feel good about it. We have no excuses from our end. We just go out and compete now.
So the question is this: can you tell that it's the playoffs? And how?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And I think the telltale sign for me is not people talking about it or what they say on TV or anything else. It's more just the attention to detail and the way the guys hone in. It's not like we don't during the year, but you just have a different level of ability to dig into opponents and those type of things. And you can feel it around. And, you know, the playoffs obviously kicking off today with that great game to start between Denver and Utah. And, you know, it got to be playoff basketball real quick. Like, it got to be, okay, I'm picking my matchup on one end, I'm going at it. And then on the other end, I'm picking our matchups and we're going at it. And it was just like, here we go. This is what playoff basketball looks like. And so I think that here, though we're still in this bubble, though we're still in the same place we've been the last 6 weeks, I think that you certainly feel the excitement to play a playoff game.
There's an old Jerry Seinfeld bit about two magicians who get bored hanging around each other because they know all the tricks. So they go, hey, I believe this is your card. I believe this is your rabbit. You know, you and Brett have coached against each other now an average of five times a year for 7 years, which doesn't happen in the NBA.
Not including exhibition games.
I'm throwing those in. The preseason, yeah. Postseason, all of it, like, yeah. Dozens and dozens of games now. Is there a ultimate familiarity with what the other is doing and thinking, or have you evolved as coaches so much over the last 7 years that that's always changing?
I think you're always on your toes. I mean, he's really a creative, thoughtful coach. We're all going to have our tendencies, right? We're all going to have things that we like to do, you know, whether they mix things up out of timeouts, which they've done forever, or, you know, the different things that he does to throw curveballs. You know, I think that you base it on what you've always done, what you know best, but then also what your personnel is. And, you know, for them to be where they are without Simmons and to be as potent as they are and look as good as they have, yeah, it's a real credit to him. He's a really good coach, and he's very creative on both ends of the floor. He's very challenging to coach against. His teams always play hard. They care. This is going to be a really tough team, and he's a big part of that.
And, you know, you start with Embiid, and there's so many things you could say about him, but there's a lot of, in my view, outside the bubble that you're in, misconceptions about not just how good the Sixers are, but how they have been doing this. I don't think people think of them as a top 10 three-point shooting team or an elite three-point shooting team, which they've been down there in the bubble, that the roster has changed a lot around Joel Embiid, and there's a lot more shooting now to deal with.
I've listened to a couple of the comments about him and the different things being said, and I'm just wondering if we're watching. Like, it's pretty obvious they got shooting all around. He's trying to post deep. Al Horford sprinting to the post in transition because Joel usually trails the play, and that's good for Al because he's usually being guarded by a guy that's a little bit smaller at the four. They can bully you in the paint, and they can spray it out and play off pick and rolls. Every one of those guys that can shoot it, and every one of those guys can play off the bounce. It's a pretty impressive group when you think about that. Ben Simmons is an excellent player. It doesn't take anything away from Ben. It's just that, and I said this in the pregame media, sometimes when you take a high usage guy away, it gives everyone else a little bit more freedom. They feel a little bit better, and you can see that with their team. They can do some of the things that Ben does with a number of guys, and they can play through the post with Embiid and Horford passing the ball if they don't shoot it. But then they also can play with those other guys scoring off pick and rolls, and they're really good at it.
And I imagine the last couple of bubble games are of great value for you to watch, because Ben Simmons this year, I think, was off the floor. He played 80% of the minutes in the four games that you played against them. He's almost always on the floor. So there wasn't a lot of very, very little sample size of you playing against the Sixers without him on the floor this year.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, obviously I think the one of the things that'll be interesting to watch is he matched up with Tatum a lot. So what do they decide to do there? And I'm sure they'll mix it up. He's historically mixed it up like that. So we'll have to be on our toes there. But as far as the other end of the court, you just have to guard more space. Simmons's greatness comes in the fact that he can just bully and overpower guys, and his transition is just special. These guys now, with the ability to post the bigs and, again, play off that spacing, make it really difficult.
As the head coach, a lot of conversation here about Bill Belichick speaking to the team. And, you know, I think that
is
an obvious.
How did that get out, by the way?
What's that?
How did that make its way out there?
That's a reasonable question. I was surprised at how many people, but, you know, you must have a – maybe someone's breaking into your Zooms. I don't know. I don't know how the technology works and the security. Therefore, but listen, first of all, you know Bill and how close he is with the media. He probably just, you know,
he probably leaks
everything because he has that, including with my wife, as you know. So putting Belichick aside and the content of it, because that's an obvious choice, Dad, Bill Belichick, what goes into picking a guest speaker? What are you looking for when you're choosing someone to speak to the team? Because now there's this sort of any walk of life. Almost anybody seemingly could be a candidate.
This is about so during the hiatus, we really focused on non-basketball things. So obviously we had a number of people that focused on leading or helping this lead the discussion, some of the racial justice conversations. We've had people before that were in their second profession that had great success. We have had actors and musicians and doctors and others. With regard to getting ready for the playoffs and Belichick, you're exactly right. It's a no-brainer. He's one of the world's best preparers, and this is all about controlling what you can control and doing your very best. I mean, we're going to play against nothing but good teams. There's going to be nothing but hard-earned opportunities if you're able to win, and everything is going to be difficult. And, you know, we have to resist the noise and play as well as we can and control what we can control and do our jobs. And I think that message pretty loud and clear. Even though you know it's coming, it's still great to hear it from him.
And as he would say, it's on to Philadelphia. Game one next on the WROR Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.